Romans chapter 6 is one of the most profound scripture passages in all the Bible. I remember many years ago when I was a young man, Bill Gothard challenged us to memorize chapter 6 and chapter 8 of Romans, and I put myself to the task and started memorizing it. And even as I was memorizing it, I realized I don't understand this very well. and I struggled with it, the passage, memorized it, forgot it, rememorized it, and forgotten it again. I need to try to rememorize it again. You know how that works. But this is such an exciting part of God's Word. I decided at one point in my life to dig into it more deeply and began to understand it better. And I began to realize how important it is in the Christian life for us to understand Romans chapter 6. Unfortunately, many Christians do not understand it. And I'm not going to be able to spend the time here in this one podcast to help you really get a good handle on it. But maybe I can whet your appetite and cause you to want to go dig some more yourself and read and study and meditate and think and pray and maybe memorize some of this yourself. It is such an awesome passage of Scripture. Martin Luther and many other great reformers and Christian leaders through the centuries have looked to this as one of the most profound, important passages in all of Scripture. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read a lot of it. So let's start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be rendered powerless, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Father, there is so much here in Romans chapter 6. And I pray that as we scratch the surface of this powerful passage just a little bit today, that you would help every one of us, me and those who are listening to the podcast, to begin to get a new excitement about this passage from your Word and a new appreciation for the profound truth that is here that you have given us through the Apostle Paul, so that we can understand who we are a little bit more clearly in Christ. And I pray that as we begin to understand that, as we begin to unwrap this incredible package you've given us, this gift, this truth, Lord, that we will that we'll be more useful to you and better prepared instruments in your hands to bring you glory. Please, Lord, work as only you can to generate that excitement about your word that I know you want us all to have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm certainly not going to try to do a verse by verse here of Romans chapter 6 at this point in time. Many years ago, I preached a series of, I think, 17 messages from Romans chapter 6. And then there's so much more that could be done here. But I want us to just kind of get an overview. The main idea here is that when we became Christians, we became new creatures. You remember the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. We're not the old man we once were. And so in Romans chapter 6, Paul is saying, you need to understand who you are in Christ. You've died with Christ. You're not the one you once were. The man you once were is dead. You died with Christ, and you are now raised with Christ, and you're no longer slaves of sin. You're slaves of righteousness, and the power of sin has been broken in your life. You don't have to give in to sin anymore because you're not the one you used to be. One of the most important truths that we can understand in Scripture, and I believe it's incredibly important for spiritual warfare, is a truth about who we are in Christ. And we can spend a lot of time here. If you're interested in studying this a little bit more, I have a section on some of the things that Scripture says about us once we become Christians, the truth about us in Christ. It's in the spiritual warfare pages and on our website, aboundingjoy.com, and the Belt of Truth. It'll be in that section right there, so you can do a search there when you get to aboundingjoy.com and find it. I start out with the truth about God. I think Satan lies to us more about God, or tries to lie to us about the nature of God, the character of God, than anything else. But following close on that, he likes to lie to us about who we are in Christ. And so we've got to fight a good fight and put on the belt of truth so that we can resist Satan's lies about who we are in Christ. But just to mention a few things before I give a couple of illustrations here. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11... the Bible says we overcome Satan because of the blood of the Lamb. Of course, he won our victory for us on the cross, and he conquered Satan and sin and hell and death on the cross. But he doesn't put a period there. He says they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. In other words, he's picturing Christians speaking the truth about who they are in Christ. This is their testimony. This is what Christ has done for me. This is what Christ has made me into. And then he adds one more thing. They did not love their life even to death. And we won't. When we become Christians, we suddenly lose our fear of death because we know Jesus has conquered it and we don't have to be afraid of it anymore. And Satan's greatest weapon has been removed. But the word of their testimony implies who we are in Christ. And if you go through Scripture, you'll see a lot of things. For example, the Bible teaches very clearly we're children of God. And all things are working together for our good. And we are fellow heirs with Christ, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And like the verse I mentioned earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're new creatures. Our citizenship's no longer here. We're citizens of heaven. We've been redeemed. We belong to God. He purchased us as his own possession. There's a power working in us that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. We're ambassadors from another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the Bible teaches that he holds us in his hand, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. And we just read here in Romans chapter 6, sin is no longer master over us. We don't have to feel like we're defeated by sin anymore. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we've been made complete in him, and we've been set free in Christ, and he loves us. And you know, you can go on and on. My body's now the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and God will never leave me, and I'm more than a conqueror. And you see what I'm saying here? There are many, many scriptures that teach us this radical change that happened to us when we got to know Christ. And the root and foundation of it is here in Romans chapter 6. Now, years ago, I came across some pretty powerful illustrations that kind of illustrate this truth that's being communicated here in Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to try to share them with you now. And hopefully, illustrations are kind of like windows. They let the light in and help us to see things more clearly. And maybe these illustrations will help stay with you. I'm not sure where these illustrations came from, except for one of them. I don't remember where I first heard them, but I'm going to share them with you, and you may have heard them before. First of all, I want you to imagine that you're a typical American high school boy. And as a typical red-blooded boy, you have two primary interests: girls and food. And that's about it. Nothing else in life really matters compared to these two. Well, one day, you're at school, and you're kind of leaning there against the locker between classes, and you're watching the girls go by, and you're thinking about that strawberry pie that your mom made, and you're hoping you'll get a big piece of after supper. And the track coach walks up to you right there in the hall, and he says to you, "Son, have you ever thought about trying out for track?" And you look over your shoulder, you know, who's this guy talking to? You know, he's not talking to me. But then you realize, well, there's nobody else around. Maybe he is talking to me. And you say, "Coach, are you kidding? I'm no athlete." And he says, very seriously, he says, "Oh, yes, you are. You're a runner. I can tell. I've been watching you, and I can spot a runner when I know one when I see one. So I'd like to prove it to you. Come on out to the field after school. Meet me at the track." And the coach walks off. And you're standing there thinking, that guy's nuts. I'm no athlete. I'm no runner. But you're kind of intrigued, and so you decide to go meet the track coach after school and check it out. And he gives you instructions, and you follow his instructions, and lo and behold, over a little bit of time, he begins to convince you. And you discover, hey, I am a runner. And you love it. And you're good at it. It's thrilling. It's exciting to you. And over time, you get better and better at it. And then there comes a day when you've been practicing, you've been running, you've enjoyed the races, you've been running, and you're doing well, and now you're competing for the regional championship. And just as you walk out onto the track for the competition, the cutest girl in the school walks up to you, and she's carrying the most delicious strawberry pie you've ever seen in your life, and she says, "Wouldn't you like to have this pie? Wouldn't you like to just come with me so we could spend some time together?" And very briefly you think, wow, they both look pretty good. But then you think, wait a minute, I got something bigger on my mind. And you say to her, "No, can't do that. I'm a runner. I have an important race to run, and I'm going to run it." And you turn away from her, and you turn away from the pie, and you run the race, and you win the race. Because you have begun to understand who you really are, and you're able to easily resist the temptation. Here's another illustration. There was a man one time who lived in the mountains, and he came upon an injured eagle. He decided to keep it. He fed it. He kept it for a pet. And eventually that eagle healed up and was able to fly again. But the man wanted to keep that eagle as a pet, so he chained the eagle to a stake in his backyard. So all day long, day after day after day after day, all the eagle could do was walk around and around and around in circles, chained to the stake. Eventually, the man died. And another man came and found the eagle chained to the stake and had pity on it. He felt like it was cruel to keep a majestic flyer like this eagle chained to a stake. So he cut the chain off the eagle's leg and set the eagle free. But you know what happened, don't you? Are you ahead of me? For a long time, that eagle just continued to circle round and round and round the stake, even though he'd been cut free. He thought he was still chained. Finally, frustrated, after several attempts, the man, threw the eagle up into the air and finally got the eagle to realize he had wings and he could fly. just like he was designed to do. That happens to us. There are many who don't quite understand who they are in Christ. They don't realize how Christ has set us free to fly for Him, and we're walking around as if we're chained to a stake. Here's another brief illustration. There was a certain man who was addicted to cigarettes. He tried very hard to quit smoking many, many times through the years, but he never did succeed. He would get off cigarettes, maybe for a few days, and then a friend would come by and blow smoke in his face, and all of a sudden he would, you know, feel like he was stressed out and he needed the nicotine again, so he would fall off the wagon, beg for a drag on a cigarette. Next thing you know, he's back into his addiction and slavery to nicotine. That lasted throughout his entire life, and finally he died. But when he died, he was no longer enslaved to cigarettes. His friends could walk by that corpse all day long and blow smoke in his face, and it didn't bother him a bit. He didn't ask for a cigarette. He never took another puff. He's dead. He's dead. And Paul is saying to us, I want you to learn that you're dead in Christ. The old man is dead. You're a new creature in Christ, and you're no longer slaves to sin. One more illustration. I heard Peter Lord share a story similar to this one many, many years ago in a message I heard him preach. I love it. One day, a mother eagle was trying to teach her little eaglets to fly, and she pushed one of the little eaglets out of the nest, and he's frantically flapping his wings as he goes down, 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 and he never does quite get the hang of it. So finally, he lands on the ground. Now, he was able to flap enough to keep from hurting himself, but he couldn't fly. And when he looked around, he couldn't see his mom anywhere, but he did see a flock of turkeys that were walking by. So he decided just to kind of go along with them, hang out with them. And he followed the turkeys around, and he did the best he could to act like the turkeys. And the turkeys didn't seem to mind. They liked the little fellow. They taught him to scratch around for acorns. He wasn't totally happy acting like a turkey. You know, something inside said, this is not really who I am, but that's all the life he knew at this point, so he just plodded along, acting like all the other turkeys. One day, he and the turkeys were scratching around for acorns under some trees, and a wise old owl sitting up on a limb in that tree looked down at him and said, who are you? And the young eagle looked up at the owl and said, me? I'm just a turkey. I'm down here with these other turkeys. We're scratching for acorns. And the wise owl said, no. No, no, no. You're not a turkey. You're an eagle. What are you doing down there acting like a turkey? You were created to fly. You're created to soar up in the sky on your eagle wings. It took a while for the young eagle to grasp what the owl was trying to tell him, but finally he began to test his wings. And sure enough, in a short time, he's up there soaring with the other eagles in the clouds, high above those turkeys down there scratching around on the ground for acorns. Well, I hope some of these illustrations have helped you see more clearly who you are in Christ. If you really are a Christian, if you really have committed yourself to Christ, now listen, don't go back thinking about memories. Don't go back thinking about when you prayed or when you cried or when you went forward or when you got baptized or when you joined the church or when you were in VBS. Just don't worry about the past. I'm thinking right now, are you committed to Jesus Christ? Is your life all about Jesus? Well, if it is, if you are, He has come into your life and He has made you into a new creature. The old you who you once were is dead. You're no longer slaves to sin. You don't have to get into it. You may be acting like it, but God wants you to learn the truth about yourself and come out of that stuff and realize you've been set free. You're a new creation, and it's time for you to quit acting like a turkey. In the power and the grace of God, it's time for you to begin to fly like an eagle. Father, thank You that You've given us this truth in Your Word, and thank You that You said very clearly that thanks be to You that though we were slaves of sin, we became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which we were committed. And having been freed from sin, we've become slaves of righteousness. And Father, what a wonderful thing it is to be a slave of righteousness. And we remember you told us here in Romans chapter 6 that we ought to consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to you in Christ Jesus. So help us, Lord, to remember this. And help us to remember who we are. And help us to remember that we're not turkeys and we're not slaves to sin and we're not chained to the stake anymore. That you set us free. Help us to really, really understand that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.